बाहुंश्च मन्दरगिरिपरिवर्तनेन निर्निक्तबाहुबलयान्नधिलोकपालन् सञ्चिन्तयेत सशतारम् अश्यते च शङ्खं च तत्करासुरुरारचहंसम् Bahums, the arms, cha, and Mandara Giri of Mount Mandara, Parivartanina, by the revolving, Nirnikta, polished, Bahu Balayan, the arm ornaments, Adiloka Palan, the source of the controllers of the universe. Sanchintayat. One should meditate upon. Dasa Sata Aram. The Sudarsan disc. 1000 spokes. Ashaha Tejaha. Dazzling luster. Shankam. The conch. Cha, also, Tatkara, in the hand of the Lord. Sharoruha, lotus-like. Rajahamsam, like a swan. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace. Bhoyacharanalam in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The yogi should further meditate upon the Lord's four arms, which are the source of all the powers of the demigods who control the various functions of material nature. Then the yogi should concentrate on the polished ornaments which were burnished by Mount Mandara as it revolved. He should also duly contemplate the Lord's discus, the Sudarsan Chakra, which contains 1,000 spokes and a dazzling luster, as well as the conch, which looks like a swan in his lotus palm. Please repeat. The yogi should further meditate upon the Lord's four arms, which are the source of all the powers of the demigods who control various functions of material nature. The yogi should concentrate on the polished ornaments which were burnished by Mount Mandara as it revolved. He should also duly contemplate the Lord's discus, the Sudarsan Chakra, which contains 1,000 spokes and a dazzling luster, as well as the conch, which looks like a swan in his lotus palm. Purport. All departments of law and order emanate from the arms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The law and order of the universe is directed by different demigods. And here it is said to emanate from the Lord's arms. Mandara Hill is mentioned here because when the ocean was churned by the demons on one side and the demigods on the other, Mandara Hill was taken as the churning rod. The Lord in His tortoise incarnation became the pivot for the churning rod, and thus His ornaments were polished by the turning of the Mandara Hill. In other words, the ornaments on the arms of the Lord are as brilliant and lustrous as if they had been polished very recently. The wheel in the hand of the Lord, called the Sudarsan Chakra, has 1,000 spokes. The yogi is advised to meditate upon each of the spokes. You should meditate upon each and every one of the component parts of the transcendental form of the Lord. Om Agyan Smiran Nasya Chanan Chanan Shalakiva Sekshuran Militan Dina Tashmaya Shri Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram. So here describing the form of the Lord, whom the yogi is meditating within his heart and having four arms, and these four arms are the source of all the controlling powers in the universe. Kim bahu kauru pado cheti tatsya purusha shukta. In the universal form of the Lord also, his arm, bahu, they are representing the Kshatriyas. So in the universal form, and it's there as the administrators of the universe, expands as the demigods. So that's the Lord's Shakti from his arms, is empowering the demigods. And then also it empowers the living entities who have a Kshatriya nature to rule and govern in the material world. So Prabhupada gives many descriptions how the body is, represents these different divisions in society. The head is like the Brahmana, the arms are the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, the belly, and Sudras, the legs like that. So here is the origin of that potency that we need for controlling and power. It's actually coming from originally here in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Amasavasya Prabhupada. Krishna says, everything is coming from me. So here we have the description of his forearms with the foot with different symbols he is carrying. And his arms are beautifully decorated with burnished ornaments, highly polished ornaments. And he said, when the ornaments on the arms of the Lord are brilliant and lustrous, as if they had been polished very recently. So that actually we have experience. You see, when we polish that Ananda Dev behind Lord, the snake behind Lord, the Shingadev of the Prabhavali, or the lotus feet of the... It takes on a new look. It's kind of alive, isn't it, when you see the... Oh, you notice it. Otherwise you don't notice it. When you see it, the darshan, oh, everything seems alive. It's when the lamps are polished and everything. And when they're not polished, it's, you don't really notice them. But they take on a luster and it's... I guess in the spiritual world everything is like that. It's all luminous and lustrous and always attractive. The whole spiritual world is attractive. When something is polished, it's attractive. When it's not polished, it's not very attractive. Prabhupada said it. What did he say? He said, if you have brass or copper and you're keeping it in the house, in the shelf or something, it should always be polished. If it's in vision, he said, you're keeping some pots and pans and like that, he said, it should always be polished. So here the Lord was polished these ornaments on the as the mountain was being churned by the demigods and the demons, and he used it as a buffing machine. You know, the buff machine revolves very fast with the polisher on it, the polishing mop, and you put some resin on it, and then you switch it on, it spins around very fast, and you polish the brass. So this is the original idea, is in the Supreme Personality of God, that we think we're quite good because we invent the lathe machine and it spins around and we can use it for something. But originally, the Lord invented that. Spins very fast and you put your ornaments and it polishes and becomes very bright. So he's polishing his ornaments. So many things are accomplished by the Lord's activities. It is said that he He incarnated as his tortoise incarnation. I think he was about 80 million miles wide, something like that. Or at least 8 million. Or 800,000. Pretty big tortoise. Okay. Because he felt some itching sensation on his back, and he thought, how can I scratch that? So he decided to have his back scratched, so he came in the assumed the form of the Kachup turtle. The turtle incarnation, and they turned his back, and then he thought, nice relief for his. So a little itch on his back, on the Lord's back, to scratch that, the Lord involves the whole universe. All the leaders of the universe, all the big demons come, Vasuki comes. The whole universe is involved because he's feeling a little itching sensation on his back. So, but the point here is, this is descriptions here of the Lord and his ornaments and his pastimes, etc. But it's going on and on and on and on. This chapter is going on. This is only one portion of Bhagavatam, where we get hundreds of descriptions of the Lord. Whenever it says the Lord appeared before a certain person, always it goes on about what he was wearing, what did he look like. It always gives so many descriptions. And here it's going on and on about all the different descriptions of the form of the Lord. So where is it throughout the whole world you ever get any description of God? You know, what to speak of these one after another, what ornaments he wear, what does he look like? I don't have no clue practically of a description of God anywhere around the world, even the major religions. Some of the major religions are saying you shouldn't think about God's form even. You shouldn't even. Or he can't have a form. He can't have a form here in the material world. And if he has a form there, then you shouldn't even really contemplate until you get there, I guess. It's the highest principle. Man mana bhava man bhakto, always think of me. The great religions don't think it. You shouldn't even think that he has about his form. But here is going on so many descriptions of the Lord. And yet no one else is talking about him. In modern times. So it's quite astonishing. Then again, it's not astonishing due to the influence of the age of Kali. But it's astonishing because he's the closest person next to us. There's no one more closer than him. He's sitting right in our heart. He's sitting. Nobody can even come in between us and him. He's so close. And yet nobody knows him. The whole world doesn't know him. And yet he's been sitting there since time immemorial. And still, nobody's understanding him. Which means, especially in this Kali Yuga, that nobody has a controlled mind. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who has controlled his mind, the super soul is already reached. So he's just waiting for that natural atmosphere. Krishna is there in the heart, Jiva is there, the atmosphere is there, the nice lotus and everything. And everything is there, relation. But it's all clouded over by so many, what do you say, anarthas, so many things, unwanted things there, that we don't see the Lord. We see everything else. So because the mind is always accepting and rejecting, that's its only thing, and it never stops for a moment to contemplate the Lord, then the whole situation in the heart is completely covered. Layer after layer after layer of different things that the mind likes and doesn't like. So we can't even see the Lord who's right there. But Krishna says, no, if you can control the mind, if the mind is clean, you can see him. He's already reached. So therefore this whole system of yoga that Kapila Muni has given is ultimately controlling the mind all the different postures, asana, nama, yama, breathing, etc., like that, all the things you have to do for a long time. In fact, it says this process actually takes thousands of years because of meditation, because practicing the Satyayuga. Where they could do it, because practically everyone has peace of mind in Satyayuga. So that means everyone's paramatma realized. So therefore, it's just like the kingdom of God, actually. Because you're with the Lord, you can feel the presence of the Lord everywhere you go, you can see His presence here, Samadarshana, you're. So it's like the kingdom of God. So nobody's really brought into even to go back to God, because it's like the kingdom of God. But here now in Kali Yuga, it's so the age is so degraded and so contaminated that nobody can see the Lord. Otherwise, why no one is talking about Him? I mean, His description, they're talking about God. Everybody talks about God. But why nobody's talking about His personality? Well, nobody can see Him. Everybody's forgotten. Like if you have a very valuable jewel set in gold on your, and you keep it on next to your heart. But if it gets covered all the time and everything, you forget all about it. You may as well just not have it, or you just let it get dirty or something. You may as well not have it. So it's like that. The Lord has been covered. He may just as well not be there. We're not appreciating His presence. We're not taking advantage of His dictation, because my dictation is supreme. What I think, what I like, and what this is I'm the independent Lord. This is my Purusha Bhav. This is my nature. I don't have time to listen to anyone else. I'm too busy thinking of what I should do and what I should do for Krishna. No, it's the opposite. Yeah, control that mind. The whole yoga system controls. When the mind is controlled, then you can fix the Lord. Not fix Him, but He appears, because He's already there. It's not something we're trying to attain. This yoga system is trying to attain, or bhakti yoga either. We're not. It's something we're trying to attain. It's already there. It simply has to be the heart has to be cleansed. Chaitodharpanamajanam. This is the whole process. Begins at that point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Everything is already there. Krishna consciousness is there. Krishna is there. You are there. The relationship is there. It's simply covered. So the whole process of all forms of self-realization, they're practically the same. Cleansing the heart. It's all cleansing process to control the mind. Then when the mind is controlled and peaceful, Krishna says the super soul is reached. So then you can appreciate the presence of the Supreme Lord. When the mind has become controlled. And you'll understand, He's been there all the time and He's dictating all the time, but I just haven't been listening to Him. But now I can listen to Him, now I can follow His dictation. So therefore you become very expert in, like Prabhupada, any situation is so expert. Why? Because Krishna is just dictating him. According to time and circumstance, he knew exactly what to say, exactly what to do. So Krishna is giving him that impression of, you know, how to speak, how to act, how to react. So this is the natural situation of the living entity. And anything outside of that is unnatural. So we're in a very unnatural situation. We can't appreciate that Lord who is sitting, waiting for us to turn to Him. He's not just sitting there, He's waiting for us also. So then we get all these different yoga systems, ultimately to bring us to control the mind. Then the Lord appears there, then they do their meditation. But due to their, generally the yogis and the jnanis, because of their incomplete, their intelligence is not completely purified, they still may have desires to merge into the Lord, think the Lord is actually, I'll merge into the Paramatma, Paramatma will dissolve, everything will dissolve, will become one with, sometimes the yogi wants to take powers from the Lord. But generally the other types of yogis there, understand, ultimately it's impersonal. But anyway, the mystic yogi, if I contact the super soul who's representing the Lord, I can get so many siddhis, mystic powers, and be transferred to any planet I like. But generally, the idea is ultimately the Lord is, his form will dissolve. But it's all right for meditation and things like that. And especially for bhakti yoga, that's for the beginners. They need a form, so it's very good they can have a form of the Lord. But ultimately, he will dissolve, the form will dissolve. So according to the authorized process, no, first learn to control the mind, then you can actually meditate, put the Lord in the heart, and then you can meditate upon it. And then you can see the Lord. He's there, he's sitting in the heart, and he has these different weapons are in his hands, and the description of the Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 20, text 222, which gives the descriptions of the different symbols in the Lord's hand. He has different names according to the way he holds his chakra, pada, chanka, gada, whatever hand it's in, he has a different name. So the Lord, he says, the procedure for counting begins at the lower right hand. So this hand, you'll start from there and see what weapon he has there. Then the upper right, then the upper left, and then the lower left. So according to the symbols, you can understand his name, if you know the names. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching, Sanatana Goswami. So it begins with the lower right hand, goes to the upper right hand, to the upper left hand, to the lower left hand. So Lord Vishnu is named according to the order of the weapons holding his hands. So that Lord in the heart, his name is Janardhan. Did you know that? He's been with you since time immemorial. He's a best friend. Didn't even know his name. But his name is Janardhan because of his position of his weapon. So in his lower right, he has a lotus. In his upper right, he has his chakra. In his upper left, he has the shankha, and in his lower left, he has the club. And therefore, he is Janardhan, and that's how he sits in the heart. If you have a look, you can see. But when the artists were painting for Prabhupada's books, they said, Super Soul, and they said, Prabhupada, is Krishna Super Soul sitting or standing? And Prabhupada closed his eyes and said, oh, he's sitting. And then he said, but sometimes he's standing. So he could see. So he's there with all of his weapons and paraphernalia. So there's a Mount Mandara in Bihar, in Kenai, near Kenai Natshala. We have a temple there. Mahaprabhu visited there when he went from Gaya, he went to Kenai Natshala. He had a darshan of Krishna there. The place is considered Gupta Vrindavan. But anyway, quite a few hours from there, I guess 4 or 5 hours. Beautiful scenery there, it's all hilly. That hilly, when Sanatana Goswami went across the escaping from jail, and he had those gold coins, his servant had those gold coins, and he went across that dangerous mountain range. That area, you go across that. And anyway, there's a Mount Mara, Mandara Mountain is there. Big mountain. We went there with the Sankirtan devotees. Big mountain there. It's all smooth. It's like very gentle sloping up. It's kind of steep, but you can walk up it. And it's all very smooth. And I guess maybe the ornaments made it smooth as they were polishing Krishna's ornament. But it's very smooth. And there are some big grooves in it. Because they used Vasuki, the snake. They were, demigods and demons were churning, and he was gold around it. So they were like a churning rod. They were using Vasuki, the snake. And around that mountain, there's big grooves. Perfect grooves like that. They go all around like that. And big mountain. Perfect grooves there. This is where the snake was. Vasuki was nearly died there. They're all pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling as you can. But you can see they're big grooves in them and smooth all around the mountain. You can see that if you go there. And they have, on the bottom, they have the old scene of the demigods. They have a big lake and the demigods. Very famous deity there. I don't remember his name. Anyway, so this is the whole procedure. It's all mind control, all the systems of self-realization, all the systems of, but frankly, any kind of system of self-realization, you see that it's all aimed ultimately at controlling the mind. But it doesn't stop there. You're supposed to then meditate on the personality of God when the mind is controlled. So all this control, you see, this is Sambandha, trying to understand the relationship with the Lord. So when you actually, the Lord appears in the heart, that is Sambandha, then your relationship is established. When Prabhupada, he often quotes Premanjana Charita Bhakti Galo Chanina Shantasa Devi Dehidhishu. Those who have eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, they can see the Lord in their heart and everywhere. He mentioned a few days ago actually. But he always mentions it. Now we think, you know, it's perfection. You've got love for Krishna in your eyes. You can see him everywhere. You see that Lord everywhere. Yam Sham Sundaram Machintaguna Shrutam. Govinda Madhipushan. Prabhupada said that's Sambandha, that's the beginning. We're thinking, well, that you have love for Krishna even. Your eyes are smeared with the ointment of love. At the beginning, now you love Krishna, that's Sambandha, now you know. Now there's much more to go. Enter into that relationship. So it's all like the Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, that is Sambandha. When the heart is clean, then you have Sambandha. Up until then, it's just Anatta Nivritti. We're trying to get rid of all the anattas. So therefore Prabhupada is emphasizing in this chapter, you shouldn't imagine anything. Don't imagine any form or anything like that to meditate on. Prabhupada says few purposes for him. Imagination is simply imagination, and the result is further imagination. So it's not we have to meditate on. The idea is that we hear descriptions, but it's not the meditation is not on those descriptions. See, the meditation comes later in this process of yoga. First, asana, nama, yama, and all those things. Control, 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 control. Control the mind. The idea is then the super soul is reached. So you don't have to put the picture there, he's already there. So that's the yoga system to bring you up to that point, controlling the mind. Then, samadhi. So that's samadhi for the yogis, when the Lord has actually, you're actually visualizing the Lord, so it's not a question of you meditating on putting the picture of the Lord in there, the Lord actually reveals that. So then that becomes samadhi. So first the mind has to be controlled, that's all bringing you up to that point. And the same with our process also. I read a nice quote yesterday from Prabhupada. It's in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And when he gets that mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and he's meditating on the form of the Lord also. And Narad Muni advised, you get a deity in the beginning. So he made a clay deity or something. And use the mantra. So, but then ultimately the actual Lord appeared, because meditating. Prabhupada says, the purport, another point established in this verse is that meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest procedure of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna, Ram, and their energies. And that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord. This means meditating, putting the picture there. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, but when the chanting is performed offenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal Himself to the view of the chanter. The chanter, therefore, has to concentrate on hearing the vibration, and without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. So here's our process. We're also following the yogic process. All the processes are practically the same. The Bhakti Yoga system, up to the point of liberation, is practically the same as the Gandhi system and the yogi system. It's all purification, purification, purification. You hear Prabhupada saying, one shouldn't meditate on the form of the Lord. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you shouldn't be meditating on the form of the Lord in the beginning. You should hear the sound vibration, he said. Your attention should be on the sound vibration. Then Krishna himself will reveal. The idea is, if I put the picture, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I put the picture of the Lord in my mind, in my heart, this indicates, it's actually Namaparat. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm thinking of the form of the Lord. It's Namaparat. How is Namaparat? It means not having complete faith in the Holy Name. The Holy Name is going to reveal His form. But I think, I'll put the picture there. By my endeavor, by my prowess, I'll put the picture there. And I'll meditate on that picture and chant. But that's what the Holy Name is. He said, I'll appear there. He will reveal Him. The Holy Name will reveal as a personality. Whoever your worshipable deity is, the Holy Name will reveal Himself. You don't have to worry about that. Prabhupada said, without extra endeavor, you don't have to worry about it. But if I think, no, I'll put the picture there, the Holy Name doesn't have the potency to appear in the form of my heart. I'm more potent than the Lord. My meditation, my picture, my ability, my prowess that I can get the Lord is... So it's a lack of faith. You're showing lack of faith in the Holy Name. But the Holy Name, no, He will reveal Himself. First He will reveal His presence. You can appreciate His presence then, and you'll understand Krishna and His name are non-different. Then He reveal the form of your worshipful deity. And then He reveals His qualities, then His pastimes, one after another. The Holy Name does everything. Of course, when He reveals a form, then you get something to meditate on. So, although I shouldn't see any picture there. But if it comes spontaneously, that's something different. Or the Lord reveals, that's something different. Then you meditate on that. But first, to get to that stage, simply be attentive to the Holy Name. We were having a class on the Holy Name, and this point was coming out. No, first you should, you have to control the mind, just be very attentive to the Holy Name. Whatever it takes, wherever the mind goes, immediately bring it back to the, be attentive to the sound vibration. And someone was saying, I don't do that, that's so boring for me. I think it's so boring trying to keep the mind there and meditate on the sound vibration. I always think of Krishna. I've got so many pictures of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And I always see the pictures. It's so enlightening for me. And the other just trying to hear a sound vibration and bring my mind and steady my mind on the sound. It's so boring for me. So you know what that means? Indicates. This is the definition of sahajya. Sahajya Prabhupada means, says, one who takes things cheaply. So here is a system given by the acharyas and by Krishna himself. So meditate on the sound vibration and Krishna's form will appear, his name, the form, past times, everything will appear. But if I think, oh, it's boring, in other words, oh, I can't do that control, it's boring, it's hard work. Why control my mind? Why bring it back over here? Why do I have this and this? Let me jump over that and just put my own pictures there and think of the pictures. Well, this is sahajiya, Prabhupada's definition. You take things cheaply. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to do the hard work and the controlling part of it. I just want to... That's sahajiya. It's perfection. You can meditate on the Lord's pastime. That's our goal. Leela Smaranam, Mahaprabhu was enjoying this. But that means actually seeing the pastimes or even entering into the pastimes also. That's the goal. But if we don't follow the first stage first, we're never going to get there. It'll always be our imagination. One of our God brothers, Sahajiya, Prabhupada said, that's why I'm saying, artist, and he lives over there by the Ganga. Somewhere. He has beautiful long black hair. And what was it called? Yeah, he was saying the same thing. Oh, why Krishna's there? Krishna's everywhere, you know, why all this, you know, sadhana and, you know, heavy controlling and strict sadhana. Krishna's everywhere. He's everywhere. It's the goal, you know. We can, oh, that's right. He's writing some books and translating some books. So one devotee told me, he went there and he's read his book. And he said, you know, I've read this book of the Acharyas before, but I never read this part in it before. He said, oh no, that's my explanation. He said, because the pastimes are unlimited. So Radha Krishna's pastime, where pastime is going, I wrote a continuation of their pastime and put it in the same book of the Acharyas. I wrote my own continuing pastimes. The devotee said, I wish I'd never come and read this. He was all offended. What do you mean? Pastime is coming from my heart. I'm writing further pastime. So this means sahajiya. You've got a process. You want to jump to the goal. And then it just becomes imagination. And the result of imagination, Prabhupada said, more imagination. So we have to follow very strictly the process that's given by the Acharyas. We can't jump over it. It's so easy to make that mistake. In ISKCON also. If you want to meditate on the form of the Lord or on the pastimes of the Lord, or on the qualities of the Lord, the best way to do it is sit down and chant Hare Krishna and meditate on it. But your japa of 16 rounds is for your realization. That you observe very, very strictly. The gradual progression of nama, rupa, guna, lila. First understand Krishna is not different than his name, his presence. That is your japa. That is given by Guru for your realization. That you should do very, very carefully. And don't try to jump over. But if you want to think of something else, or you want knowledge, that's the best way to get it is chanting Hare Krishna. You want to give a class, you chant Hare Krishna. And you'll get this understanding. If you want to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, you chant Hare Krishna, meditate it. That is great. But it's not your japa as given by Guru for your realization, your 16 rounds. Because if you're doing that in your japa time, you're meditating on the pastimes, it becomes dhyana. It's not japa anymore. If you're chanting Hare Krishna and meditating on knowledge and philosophy, it's not japa anymore. It's dhyana. So you left the process. The process is japa. This is for your realization. Chant 16 rounds, japa. Follow the procedure. They're very, very properly. So that has to be observed very, very strictly. Your 16 rounds, that's what the Guru gave you. The procedure to how you systematically chant Hare Krishna and just absorb yourself in the sound vibration. The mind is not active, Prabhupada says. And if it goes anywhere, bring it back. Prabhupada said, when you have mastered this art, it's an art, you just bring it back. And Prabhupada said, it's quite easy. You can master this art. But if we don't put it into practice, we won't do it. Oh, it's too difficult. Let me jump to the end. So that's where your realization is coming through, your 16 rounds of japa. It means being attentive to the holy name in the beginning. As the realizations come, then you can meditate on them. Then you can meditate on the qualities, then you can meditate on the past. But it shouldn't be artificial. So the yoga system did that, Kapil Muni, is bona fide. Control your mind. Let the Lord appear in your heart. Then you can be in samadhi. Then you've achieved the samadhi. But you don't have to imagine something, like Prabhupada's always criticizing. Of course, the so-called yoga of today don't even come to the point of meditating on the Lord. But something else they meditate on, some void or something. So it has to be done properly according to the authorities, like Kapila Muni, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Six Goswamis. So if we do it properly, we get the result. If we don't do it properly, if it's so easy, you know, we've heard this word sahajya so many times, it's so easy to it. But it's often in ourselves. You know. We like to think of something else. Hare Krishna gets a little bit boring, I'm trying to think. So we'll take it cheaply. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gopinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna, thank you.